You won't?
It's on. All yours.
It's all over here. Thank you, everyone. If we could start the meeting. So, first business is call to order. This is the regular meeting, town council meeting for Monday, February 17th, 2025, and it is now 6 p.m. So, a motion to excuse the mayor.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Mayor Oliver from tonight's meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Moved. So moved. If we could have an invocation?
Sure. Please join me in a prayer. Loving and gracious God, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts. And we thank you today for all of your blessings, for your successful outcomes of our town events, and for all our staff members. We ask that you bless them abundantly, and as we continue to seek your wisdom, guidance, courage, and strength. Be with us in our deliberations, and help us to be wise in the decisions we make for the good of all those who have placed their trust and confidence in our leadership. Give us insight to lead with integrity, that our decisions may reflect what is right and good. Keep us from short-sightedness and pettiness. Help us to make decisions that are for the good of all and guard us from blind self-interest. Lord, grant us the humility to always seek your will in the things that we do and say. All the glory is to be to you, loving God, now and always. Amen.
Amen. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and I apologize to the audience. We did not give a reason for Mayor Oliver's attendance or absence. He had a family emergency this weekend, and he's out of town and couldn't get back. So, for everyone. Any changes to the approval of the consent agenda or a motion to approve as presented?
I want to make a motion to make one change under Old Business 9.1, the consideration and adoption of the Island Greenway Feasibility Study.
We're on the consent agenda first. Just wait. We'll get there.
Sorry.
It's next. There you go. It's all good.
Okay. Oh, consent. Sorry, wrong.
Right. Consent agenda, any changes?
No changes. I make a motion. We accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Now, adoption of the agenda. Ms.
Okay.
Connie.
One change. Make a motion that under old business, we are going to defer 9.1 to the next meeting in March for the consideration and adoption of the Island Greenway Feasibility Study. Any discussion about deferring it to March?
Second?
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Any other changes to the agenda?
Yes, we want to add attorney client to the closed session. We'll make the motion at the proper time to vote.
Yes, sir. So personnel issue and an attorney client privilege in the closed session. 13. Yes, sir. Remind us when we get there. Okay. Sorry, let me get back up. You made me go all the way to the bottom. Okay, public comment. We have a number of people signed up to public comment. Reminder to the public, persons making public comments shall do so from the podium, provide their name and address, and be limited to 3 minutes. Written and email comments will not be read at the meeting and will be included with the minutes of the meeting. Speaking out of turn from the audience and inflammatory, immaterial, or irrational comments are not permitted. Comments seeking response may be responded to by the council, addressed during the department head reports, or delegated to staff for address. It looks like we have about 10 people, if I can do the math right. So Mr. Don Seller from 420 North 4th Avenue.
Yeah, I'm here to talk about the feasibility study. So you still like to do that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to add, if you don't mind, sorry.
No.
If you have your comments written or typed and you want to give them to us, they will be included as part of our permanent record.
Sure.
So you're welcome to speak. That's a great question tonight, and then again in March. We've taken that off so that the full council can address that issue because we believe it's that important. But certainly you're welcome to, if you're ready tonight, we're We're listening. We're all ears.
Sure.
Move along, Mr. Attorney.
Can we add one? He missed signing up at the...
Sure, at the end.
Okay. At the end of the whole meeting?
No, at the end of this, yes.
No, you're number 11.
There you go. Here, I'll let you add him one.
There you go. You can add him one. Please.
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity to comment on a Curie Beach Trail Corridor feasibility study, which will ultimately augment the East Coast Greenway. By way of introduction, my name is Don Seiler, and my wife and myself have been Curie Beach residents for over 22 years. I was asked by numerous neighborhood friends to represent them in our support to adopt the Trail Corridor feasibility study. As we know, throughout the past 20-plus years, Curie Beach leaders have upgraded our town boardwalk, constructed swings on the boardwalk along our beaches, built the town pavilion to accommodate numerous functions and activities throughout the year, buried electrical lines to mitigate annoying bird activity, constructed our relatively new fire department, and of course renovated Curie Beach Town Hall. Continuing our journey to build the Curie Beach Trail Corridor will certainly augment our town's history of residential beautification and progress. This feasibility study builds on recent planning efforts, including the Great Trail State Plan and the Curie Beach Comprehensive Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan, which highlighted this trail project as the highest priority recommendation by Curie Beach residents. The project is approximately 4 miles long and connects the existing Island Greenway in Carolina Beach to the Fort Fisher Ferry Terminal. Once completed, the trail corridor will provide a dedicated alternate transportation option as well as a recreational pathway to numerous destinations in our area. These destinations include beach access points, the ferry, and numerous parks, not only for Curie Beach residents, but according to this study, for over 1 million visitors annually. After two successful open houses and surveys in 2023 and 24, survey respondents identified the preferred routes and features, focusing on safety, challenges, and of course, opportunities. The culmination of these efforts encompass a three-phased approach, which are included in the feasibility study. In order to ensure this project is a success, we must move forward to enable project partners to begin numerous courses of action to include acquiring right-of-way access and opportunities to minimize the impact on our environment and preserve the surrounding natural landscape. I, on behalf of many supporters, many of who are with us this evening, recommend our town council adopt this comprehensive trail corridor feasibility study to facilitate movement to the next project phase, which is the Matsu Environmental Study. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Sauer. Mr. Rob Johnson.
Good evening, my name is Rob Johnson. Liz and I live at 741 Settlers Lane. Dear Town Council, please consider fiscal responsibility to the citizens of Curie Beach by refraining from additional efforts toward a recreational bike path. Referencing the 24-25 proposed budget from May 20th, I'm concerned that our property taxes, water and sewer costs, trash removal, and recycling costs have already increased. Operating a town is expensive. Why are we looking to increase our tax burden again? Costs for a trail are more than double our town's annual budget, and even if it was paid through state and federal subsidies, an additional alternative trail should not be our council's top priority. May I respectfully submit that other infrastructure for which council has responsibility needs immediate attention. This past year, we experienced an unnamed storm that resulted in record flooding and damage to numerous properties on the island. It was discovered that much of the stormwater system infrastructure is filling with silt and needs to be cleaned out. You may not remember that back in 2018, the storm sewer maintenance in the easement in our backyard caused a sinkhole. The solution was to sump pump and drain runoff into the street, and then the storm sewer system. The ground in our backyard still floods, is sinking, and the damage grows increasingly worse. How can a recreational bike path be justified when it provides only additional biking and walking venues that already currently exist all along Port Fisher, Settlers Lane, Dow Road, and any streets throughout the entire town already maintained by the town of Cherry Beach. Any additional path is not environmentally friendly or fiscally responsible. Please consider not spending any additional funding, whether collected on the national, state, or local level, to throw in with already sunken costs showing the trail to be clearly unaffordable and an environmental burden to the town of Mountain in the future. Respectfully submitted.
Thank you, sir. Cindy Mayer?
Yes.
I'm sorry if I said your name wrong.
No, that was correct.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Cindy Mayer. I am the chairperson of Friends of Curie Beach, which is a new nonprofit in Curie Beach. I hope a lot of you have heard from it about it. But we are a nonprofit that was formed to support the town council and the recreation department. And we formed to improve and enhance the town's projects. Approved town project, so we are working together hand in hand with that. Currently, even as a new nonprofit, we have over 50,000 members, which equal about 100 members, 100 individuals, some of which are here. So, wanted to come and say that Friends of Curie Beach does support the adoption of the feasibility plan for the Greenway, and I'd like for all those who have and would like to raise their hands and show support in our area tonight. That would be great. So thank you very much. It gives you an idea of some of the percentage of the town, not only from what the Greenway Feasibility Report shows in its study about the overwhelming support that the town members have for this feasibility study. So again, it is just an adoption of the plan, meaning that no money will be spent. We have spent no money so far with the feasibility plan. We appreciate East Coast Greenway in getting the plan together. We also appreciate the grant that paid for all of the feasibility study from the DOT. Cost is always a concern, but it is that grants and federal money and state dollars are expected to pay for the majority of these things. In order to move forward with an environmental plan to study any wetlands, to study any environmental impact, we have to have an adoption of the plan or we can't go forward. So just wanted to let you know that we would very much appreciate your approval and adoption of this plan going forward. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bill Baum.
Evening, Council. Thank you very much. My name is Bill Baum. I live at 923 Coastwalk, and that is in Caroline Beach. I am here to address a very narrow topic regarding the Greenway. I was involved in the early stages of the Carolina Beach Greenway and bike path and was tasked with finding out about crime. And I spoke to a number of Greenway towns from Jekyll Island all the way up to Maryland and spent a good amount of time, with the town of Cary, North Carolina, that has an extensive Greenway system. And they said, in their experience, there was one related crime that took place actually in the parking lot, because it had to be included in it. But everybody else had said there was no increase in crime, no increase of peeping toms or parties by teenagers in the woods or anything like that. So, and again, that was universal from, as I said, Jekyll Island. I spent time on the phone with Kerala, and there they have an expensive trail system, Cary and others. There was one up in the Bethesda, Maryland area. So it's, that may come up when people talk about the study, that the increase in crime, and that doesn't exist. You can ask anybody. I don't have the report with me, but any of those towns that keep that data are more than willing to share on the greenways. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Whit. Your writing's as bad as mine is. Sorry.
That's why I type everything.
I understand, me too, so.
Wickwick with 417 North 4th Avenue. In October of 21, there was a paving job done on Sandman and Ampleway, Myrtlewood. It was an awesome job. I asked at that time, you know, what about the rest of the streets in our area? And I was told, you know, it's coming. And I have all these comments that I sent to town council, but the only person I've really talked to in person is the one that's missing tonight. So I'll kind of talk to the rest of you guys. You know, you've seen what I had to say about the job that was done, you know, over the paving on 4th Avenue. Largo, but yeah, there are two words that come to mind, well, more than that, but only two that I can say in here, and that's jacklegs and shoddy. I really don't understand how a company can do something, walk away, and think that they did a great job when all you have to do is walk out in front of Don Seiler's house and see where they scraped it and there's no new car there. Questions that I basically have is, you know, hopefully no payments have been made to this company. I don't know the name of the company, so we'll just call them Jack Lake. And I was surprised by the mayor that no payments have been made. Thank you. Please go. And yeah, the next is, do we allow them to even come back, you know, to fix it, or, you know, do we bite the bullet and say, hey, now, you know, you did a terrible job, and, you know, what's, you know, how are you going to be any better? The third question that I have is, do we have an independent company that will come in and take a look at what's been done and, you know, potentially assess what can be done to rectify this. I know that, you know, a town as small as we have, nobody has expertise in all these things. You know, so, you know, we may have to get somebody else to come in and help us out with that. So, you know, with that, there's an eloquent speaker that followed me. That's going to talk about this also. Thank you.
Yes, sir. John Elliott?
I'm not sure I can live up to that.
I'm
not sure I can count. Thank you, Wick, for that introduction. I'm John Elliott at 407 Anchor Way. I'm also the president of the Curie Dunes HOA. I'm here also to talk about the paving operations. I received numerous complaints from homeowners, which I quickly referred to both Alan and Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
Although I think Jimmy was out the day that the paving operations actually happened. As Wick mentioned, Sandman was and Myrtle Court was redone in 2021. The rest of our subdivision, 4th Street, Curie Dunes Lane, and the north half of Anchor Way was completed recently. We're still dealing with debris in the yards, and some areas were missed, as mentioned, in front of Mr. Seiler's house, where when they removed the aggregate, they scraped up the old pavement and then repaved over it. You can still see where they scraped up the old pavement. There's grooves in the pavement. A lot of neighbors are still dealing with a lot of tar and gravel and crap that got pushed up into the yards. Most of the big piles, we have piles about a foot tall in some people's yards and around stop signs. As Wick mentioned, the quality was not up to the recent Sandman repaving. My impression, I'm an engineer, but I'm not a paving guy. Okay, I'm an electrical engineer. But my observation of this job, they took up a lot of pavement at the edges and not much in the center. So I'm certain we're going to find that it's thick at the edges and not much in the middle. I worry about the longevity of that. Overall, the repaving seems thinner, and there was quite a bit of debris that ended up in the storm grates, some down in the stormwater system. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, sir. Barb Irwin?
Barb Irwin, 301 Sethers Lane. I'm speaking on behalf of Jim and Carolyn Guffey. We live at 753 Sethers Lane, and our home backs up to the Matsu buffer zone. We are adamantly opposed to constructing the bike path directly behind our house. When we purchased our home in 2007, we did so favoring the privacy of a wooded area in our backyard. With this path's construction, we will forever, 24/7, have complete strangers in our backyard disrupting our daily routine. Having a familiar neighbor in your backyard is expected with a public street in front. However, your committee is asking us to tolerate living with a public passageway in our backyard while we presently have public access in our front yard. My question to the community is exactly who will this bike path accommodate? As residents, we ride our bikes anywhere around Curry Beach and find the neighborhood streets safe and pleasant. Apparently, the committee wants to accommodate tourists so they can ride all through our town and then return to Carolina Beach and spend their money. Therefore, placing the tax burden of funding this bike path, which will require constant maintenance, directly on the homeowners. Curry Beach will never have grocery stores, drug stores, doctors, dentist office, etc. And with only a few motels and restaurants, there is not enough business owners to provide the necessary revenue needed. Realtors have always marketed Curry Beach as a bedroom community for homeowners, along with their neighbors, to invite their relatives and friends for visits. We prefer to continue this atmosphere. We get no benefit from tourists polluting our beaches. Matsu constructed a fire lane directly behind our house, and it's preposterous to think that anyone with any common sense would want to turn a fire lane into a public thoroughfare. Any construction here negates the purpose of a buffer zone. Please do not construct the bike path on 1C. Thank you, Jim and Carolyn Duffy.
Thank you, ma'am. Roy Irwin.
Hi, Roy Irwin, 301 Sethers Lane.
Sure.
Tonight, the KB Curie Beach Bike Path Committee is going to ask you to adopt the feasibility study for the Greenway, but we know that's not going to happen. But I would like to caution you on adopting it at this time. A couple of years ago, when Town Council was asked to let the study happen, there was much discussion on the route running down the fire lane directly behind the homes on Sethers Lane. The majority of council members at that time were not in favor of it running behind our homes. Councilman Oliver at that time suggested to let the study happen so we would know the cost of this project and the individual routes. Town Council agreed, and now we have a rough estimate of the construction costs and the preferred routes. The costs that are not included in this study are the cost the town will incur to maintain and patrol the Greenway and the feasibility study. We have also been told a request was made to Matsu to see how far west of the fire lane they would permit this path to be built. As far as I know, Matsu has not responded. This is not reflected in the feasibility study. It needs to be addressed before you bless this project. I've heard right now the estimated cost of this project is now between 20 and 21 million at today's costs. I will assume the cost would be higher due to items overlooked in the study and inflation. If the town is responsible for 30% of the cost, we're talking a minimum of $6 million in today's money. And that excludes the ongoing costs associated with the project. In my opinion, if Town Council votes tonight to adopt the study, it will be fiscally irresponsible. There are too many unanswered variables that still need to be addressed. Estimates are estimates, and usually the costs run higher. It will also send a message to the residents of the 62 homes that border the greenway, you do not care about their issues about safety, privacy, and security. Carolina Beach Town Council listened to the residents of Carolina Sands, and we hope you do the same for the residents of, where do I live? Sellers Lane. And I don't know if I have time, but somebody had said there's no crime on the greenways. I lived in Maryland and Charles County. We had a greenway run right behind our home. It caused us to move. We had sexual assaults. We had thefts. We had everything. We had motorcycles driving down here. It forced us to move. And let's not forget, there was a shooting in the greenway in the Raleigh area and also a murder that has been unsolved. So there is crime associated with greenways. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye. Oh.
Vern Harrington.
Vern Harrington, thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight.
Yes, sir.
My wife Lynn and I have lived in Curie Beach now full time for about the last 10 years. Prior when we first moved here, we often found ourselves when we were going for walks, which we love to do, forced to go down the Fort Fisher Boulevard to get down when we wanted to walk down to Carolina Beach. We were ecstatic to see the greenway come through, and we use it quite a bit. To see that, to think of the natural extension of that taking going all the way down to Fort Fisher and to the ferry is very exciting for us. I'm just here to speak in support of adopting it because I think that it will bring benefit to the community. And I was also interested to find out that this is also part of the Maine, as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, from Maine to Florida Greenway, to be an extension and part of it and be included in that. So folks that are in for longer term bike rides and things to traverse that, keeping them off of Fort Fisher Boulevard, I think is a benefit and a plus. And just wanted to go on record as being in full support of adopting it.
Okay, thank you, sir. And Mr. Michael Davenport.
Excuse me. Good evening, everyone. I'm Michael Davenport. My wife, Jill, and I have lived at 114 Myrtlewood Court for the past 20 years. I've been on the board of directors at Curie Dunes for the past 15 years, and I'm the government liaison. My chair is the government liaison at this point, and so I'm appearing here today on behalf of my constituency and your constituency, which is 135 members. It's kind of hard to follow the zeal of the greenway discussions, but I'm here exclusively to pile on, as I'm sure is not entirely unusual with town council meetings. I'm piling on the paving issue. However, and I have been tasked with communicating my constituency's earnest and heartfelt and sort of expansive dissatisfaction with that project. I'm reminded of the old legend of the roving bands of my fellow Irishmen who used to go from driveway to driveway and offer to scrape and seal driveways, and then, you know, 3 days later when the first inclement weather came, the coating was gone. And you've heard Rick and John talk about sort of insufficient removal of the aggregate and insufficient replacement of the new seal, and we're concerned that this is just an incomplete job on both ends of the equation. So we certainly would like for the town to be able to communicate to the vendor that you had widespread dissatisfaction with the work and the work product. So thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Sorry for the whatever's going on with our AV system. I think it was all Mike, though. It was good until he got up there. So, do you want to try anything, Beth, or are we just going to move forward? Okay. So, thank everyone for speaking, and please.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I signed up to speak, but you didn't call my name.
Oh.
Dennis Daly.
Dennis who?
Dennis Daly.
I'm sorry, I skipped you, Dennis Daly. I apologize.
Okay,
I checked off. I'm
that's
sorry.
Right,
I was trying to go down. You were fourth, so I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Please, sir. Sorry about that.
No, that's right. So I'm Dennis Daly. I live on 209 Fifth Avenue South between I and J. I've been there about 20 years, and I've never had flooding on my street before until about the last year and a half, and I know that we've had a lot of severe weather, unusual storms, but in addition to that, there's been some houses built around my house with higher elevation, and I'm at a lower point. I am on piling, so that's helpful to me, but my neighbors are not. And so what happens is the water comes from South 6. It flows across the backyard of my neighbor, comes across Fifth Avenue, and then down my driveway. And so it's about, you know, up to my knees around the house. And so I talked to Bethany White of Code Enforcement. She said she was going to talk to Jimmy back in October. I followed up with her a few times, but, you know, for whatever reason, she didn't have an opportunity to do that, to see if it would be feasible to put some sort of drain, you know, on our road. Maybe it's not feasible. But I just wanted to know who I would follow up with that, you know, who I could speak to see, you know, if that's a possibility.
So that would be Jimmy Messimer and me. So if you want to schedule something later this week,
okay.
I'm sure we'll be glad to meet
okay.
with you, sir.
All right, thank you for your time. I appreciate
yes, sir.
It.
No, thank you. And I apologize for skipping, checking off stuff. I'm still new at the job, right? So this is only the second time I've had to fill in for the mayor, so in a long time. Okay, so one, thank you, everyone, for speaking. We did move this so that the full council could address the feasibility study, so we will take it up in March. You're welcome to come back. I'm sure the mayor will listen to the tapes and read everything if you dropped it off, but you're certainly welcome to come back in March. So moving on in our agenda presentations, Wilbur Jones, the chairman of the World War II Wilmington Home Front Heritage Coalition. Mr. Jones, is he here?
He said he was coming, but I don't believe he's here.
Okay. Going once, going twice. Okay. We're going to move on to committee business, the Bike Ped Advisory Committee.
Commissioners. I'm thrilled to report the Bike Ped Committee on behalf of Linquist is traveling. She wanted me to get a special hat for the occasion. I just couldn't pull that off, so yep. I just called myself. My name's Greg Germain, by the way. A few things to report. First of all, our fourth annual traffic garden for bicycle and pedestrian safety we held at Carolina Beach Elementary School on Friday, April 11th. Second, we've aligned with our partners in Carolina Beach on our second bicycle tour to Island, and that will occur on Saturday, October 18th, and we're working with Nikki and her recreation team on details for that. Last, and a little bit more, BikePed Committee unanimously approved recommendation for the Council to adopt the Island Greenway feasibility study. We felt that the adoption allows further study as that eloquently spent time on. We're not committing money at this point, we're not even committing which of the phases might be implemented and what order, but it does allow the team to look in other funding options and continue from there. It was an interesting discussion when we talked about it in the committee, and we talked about past, we talked about future, and one of the things we discussed, and I wasn't there at the time, but it would have been a decade, but they talked about the town council who bought the land down at the Oceanfront Park, and they had the foresight, I guess, to buy an old hotel, to buy a piece of land. And what we were told by some people who were around that then is not everybody was in favor. I mean, it was similar to here. Maybe 90% of the population thought it was a good idea, 10 did not, whatever the numbers. And so back at that time, council really had the foresight to consider that and approve that. And all of us as residents now who look down there, I think we find it hard to believe, you know, that might not even exist. In an oceanfront. So we know that it's a difficult decision, and you have to consider all of that, but we look forward to be working through that. The final thing Mo wanted me to read was we received this not too long ago, but we thought this month or next would be an appropriate time to read it. And this is a letter to the Bike Ped Committee from Marisol O'Connor, who lives on Greenville Avenue. She's a Carolina Beach resident. The letter says, Dear Curie Beach Bike Ped Committee, my husband and I reside in Carolina Beach. Our house is located at the end of Greenville Avenue. with our property right onto the greenway. Our house was built a few years before the greenway was constructed, and during that time there was very little foot traffic on our street. We were initially very concerned about what the changes to the greenway would bring to our quiet neighborhood. However, we've been pleasantly surprised. Upon completion of the greenway, people of all ages began passing by, including parents, their children, teens, adults, elderly, mothers with infants. We'd see people walking, running, biking, pushing a stroller, using a wheelchair, skateboarding, rollerblading. We even have a 90-plus-year-old woman, young woman, who takes her daily walk using a walker. These people all share the same objective: to be healthy, active, in a safe environment. We use the greenway every day, not only to exercise, but to traverse safely to visit the park, neighbors, family. And in 4 years living next to the greenway, we've not had any incidents or in regards to safety or privacy. Another bonus, as per our realtor, Kristen Dunn, Blue Coast Realty, and this is quoted, the properties along the greenway, and even very close to the greenway, have gone up higher in value due to the greenway. The greenway, she quotes, is one of the best amenities in Carolina Beach. Overall, I feel that the greenway has contributed to my quality of life, as well as everyone in our community on the island, and it's submitted by Marisol O'Connor. So I'm giving you a copy of that, ma'am, and file that as well. Any questions for Bike Ped Committee?
Any questions, Council?
No, sir.
No, sir. Thank you very much. Board of Adjustment. So we have interviews for two committee application members. Mr. Nyland, Edward Nyland, come on up, sir. We looked through your application, so we're interested. I think I'll let Council ask questions first.
Do you want to address it first?
My name is Ed Nealon. I live at 801 Catch Court. Been there about 2 years now. I love living here in Jersey. Okay.
Questions?
Edward, just your understanding of responsibility on the committee?
To be a go-between between the town and the public, and the disagreement as far as some form of construction that they got going on. I personally, I'm an inspector. I do building and house inspections for the last 28 years. I personally have done well over 17,000 inspections. I literally eat, sleep, think, and breathe houses. If there's anything that comes up about codes, why they're there, I am one of the most versatile people you can possibly speak to about anything from building to environment.
All right. And so what's your view of Board of Adjustments stance since this is for Curie Beach in Curie Beach, right? So in your other areas where you've done inspections, did you see a lot of variances from the codes in those areas? And what's
sometimes, your... Sometimes people don't understand why a code is in place or why it's made the way it is. And a lot of times it's for safety or, there's something else that somebody else may not be able to understand why it's there. And then there's other cases where, a variance is just because of a neighbor. So I understand the in-between on what it is, but I can explain very easily to people what is going on.
So then what's your view on variances in general? Do you know how many there are in Curie Beach, roughly? I mean, just any idea, like 550, 500, 5,000. If you were to guess, what's your ballpark range? We've had our building code since the late 80s, early 90s, so it's been 40
There's
years.
There's probably been thousands of variances for one reason or another.
Okay.
That goes on. Some are more important than others.
So, Bethany, how many variances do you think we have?
Five.
Right. Yeah, not thousands, right? So that's my question. The reason I'm asking for the Board of Adjustment, at least from my perspective, right, as a firefighter and as a lifelong resident, we don't do variances, right? And so the Board of Adjustment My question to every member going in the Board of Adjustment is, what's your position on that or thoughts of that? Because the town historically has enforced our building code and not allowed people to deviate. That's not exactly the truth in Carolina Beach or Wrightsville Beach or Wilmington. And that's why I asked the question.
There may be some confusion about the word variance.
Okay.
You're talking code, and the Board of Adjustment by statute entertains applications for variance from zoning regulations where the applicant has to prove four different things under an evidentiary review. So I'm not sure you all are talking the same language.
Okay, well, I appreciate the correction from the attorney. So
it wasn't a correction, it's just a little bit of context.
But the issue is still the same, at least for me, as I'm interviewing someone for the Board of Adjustments. The position historically of the town, and I think it's a good position, obviously, that's why I'm bringing it up, is that we make sure our citizens understand what the rules are, and then we pretty much have them live to the rules because all their neighbors have, right? And so, you know, it's okay if you believe differently, but my job is to understand what you believe about the Board of Adjustments and what their job is in that whole process, right? So they have a very specific job. We're interviewing for that job. That's why I'm asking about it, right?
I understand.
And so the person behind you gets time to think about it, which is, sorry, that's not fair, but
right? Those are there for reasons, and I can explain the reasons on why certain codes in place where some people may not understand why an air conditioner has to be so far away from, you know, a gas line.
Right.
So sometimes people just don't understand. They want to do something, but there's a reason why you can't do something.
Okay. I don't have any more questions.
I don't have any. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas, George Thomas.
Good evening. I'm George Thomas. I live on 213 4th Avenue South. I've lived here almost 5 years now. I'm a retired commercial construction superintendent. That's what I did for the last almost 38 years now. And I've been retired for about a year, and you know, I'm just looking to do something. I can use my past knowledge to help the town. I don't want to be a resident. Yeah, I'd rather be a participant. So, and I've been a year, and I've kind of watched things go on around the town, and just like feel I need to be involved in some level, whether it's a low level or however it is, to help, you know, just help the place out. So.
Council?
Well,
questions?
All good reasons to volunteer here. And I think that's how most of us got involved, the same way that we want to be a participant and not just a resident. So if you had to guess how many...
At least all you guys know the answer.
I had to guess.
appreciate your application. Appreciate your willingness to serve. I have no questions.
No, I don't have any questions.
So, Board of Adjustments, same question, right?
Well, we're to see if you issue a variance to see if, okay, how does it meet the code? How does it work with not just that person in general, but the community?
Right.
You know, it's Carolina Beach is a good example. I mean, they started allowing buildings to be taller than the code, and once you do it one time, you've opened the door for everybody to do it. And I don't care whether that's how close somebody's porch is to a street or, you know, where their fence is on their property. Once you do it once, it's everybody can do it. And so you've got to be really careful about how you analyze these variances and whether they're allowed or not. And obviously, you don't have a lot. It's, one thing that is occurring is everybody's very protective of their view, what's going around them. I've heard comments about the Greenway. You know, it's just, you know, it's a nice, quiet beach town, and that's why, you know, I moved here to begin with. And that's why I think some of the comments earlier about the paving. You know, I spent 35 years in commercial construction, doing malls and streets, and you know, I can't actually help with that problem. If somebody wants to get together with me, I can review the work that's done.
Okay, so, good. Thank you very much, sir. So, council, I'm open to a motion. We have two openings, two proposed alternative members.
I'm going to make a motion that we accept both Edward Nalen and George Thomas as the members or the alternate members of the Board of Adjustments.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Congratulations, gentlemen. Enjoy the Board of Adjustments. Community Center? No updates from the Community Center? Excellent. Historical Preservation Commission?
Good evening, Commissioners. We're going to tag team you tonight because actually item 7.4 and 7.6 on the agenda are almost identical, so we're going to present them together.
Okay.
And what we have on item 7.4 for the Historic Preservation Commission is a text amendment to Curie Beach Code, Chapter 1204.030. And you'll see in your packet, there's two minor changes here. The first one on item A, we're just renaming terms of office to composition because it fits better. But the big change is down on item B, where it says the members of the HPC shall be appointed for three-year terms. We need to change that to four-year terms. And the reason it's a need is because if you look up above on the page, the HPC members are also the Planning and Zoning Commission members. And your next text amendment, it says that Planning and Zoning serves for 5 years. So we've got the same people with two code statements saying you serve for 3 years and you serve for 5 years. So we've come to an agreement. Let's make it four. We did math.
Mr. Attorney.
Higher math.
Mr. Attorney, any issues on the terms for P&Z?
No, sir. We participated in those meetings, and I drafted the text amendments.
Excellent. Okay.
I think, you know, we didn't catch the staggering at first, but I think the logic sounds
pretty uniform. Perfect. Any other questions or discussion from council?
Yeah, that's good.
Do you need two separate motions, Mr. Attorney?
Yes, sir.
I'll take a motion to change the text amendment for 12.04.030, the HPC terms.
I'll make a motion that we accept the changes to 1204030.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Opposed? Aye. Passes. So now I'll take an
they can make motion. A motion.
There you go.
We accept the changes to the the proposed text amendment to 1204010, the PZ. Z terms.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Both passed. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Historic Preservation has another item on the agenda.
Yep.
And that is we also have a vacancy, and we did interviews within our HPC meeting, and we have a Mr. Ed Hall to present to you tonight for your interviews.
Mr. Hall, come on up, sir. So this is just for HPC, not for P&Z,
just
or for both?
HPC.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay.
Thanks. So I'm Ed Hall. My wife and I live at 506 Curie Village Way. We've had a house in Curie Beach since 2019. We moved from Salisbury, North Carolina, which had a very robust HPC, so we were familiar with that when we moved here. And as some other people said, we just really want to be involved. So I attend all of the Curie Beach Town Council and P&Z meetings. I also attend all of the Carolina Beach Town Council and P&Z meetings, as well as all of the coffees with the mayor. And pick up different levels of learning, because there are different things there. I've also
visited the Federal Point History Center in Carolina Beach, where there is a Curie Beach section. In terms of the heritage and the history, pick a word that I think is important. So safeguard, preserve, promote. For Angela and I guess what we most like about Curie Beach is kind of abstract, but character and feel. And over the last month or so, I've become, at least I have a level of understanding of the municipal code, the design standards, the downtown preservation overlay district, the town of Curie Beach quasi-judicial procedure, as well as some guidelines that the town of Cary uses that that Craig Elfrith shared. I've been in the audience for several of these hearings, including the one here 2 weeks ago.
Excellent. Council, any questions?
Sounded good to me.
No, so, I have no questions. I was at the PZC meeting, so that's not...
I'll entertain a motion from council.
I make a motion that we accept Mr.
Ed Hall.
Ed Hall. Ed Hall.
Second?
I second the motion.
Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Congratulations, Mr. Hall. Thank you very much, sir, for being willing to serve. Marking committee? Doesn't look like they're here today.
Mark Dirks isn't here, so I'm reporting out for him. He's been trying to get over the flu for about a week now. We're just going to go through a couple things real fast. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Marketing Advisory Committee, we meet about maybe 8 or 9 times a year, and 4 times out of the year, we meet with the Convention Vacation Bureau, and they go over statistics for us, and they provide us mostly with what is going on with our room occupancy rates. So we like to show you, because this year it's pretty interesting, because I don't know if you can see this, but this is now all going negative. So the reason being is if you look back, you know, like we had COVID in 2020, and then you look at 2021, and you saw what happened with tourism, and the room occupancy tax really took off. And it stayed up there until, like, really this year it started coming down. And you can see we're running negative and probably will continue to run negative compared to the previous year. So it's not all bad news. People always ask about the room occupancy tax and what does it really do for us? And, you know, this is their statistics, so it's not mine. But they told us that it provides $314 in tax savings, meaning your property taxes, per person in Curie Beach. That's their calculation. So even though the number is going down, I mean, overall, we're still going to be probably over $1 million for this year when you look at it from January through December. If you look at the next chart, this is the one that really shows, like, the fiscal year, which usually ends in June. But again, it's the same numbers. You can see we're running negative, and probably may continue to run negative. It's hard to say what's going to happen through the rest of the year. But I thought you might find that interesting, because people are always asking about the room occupancy tax. And so when they come and visit us, you know, quarterly, they always review these numbers. So if anyone's ever interested in it, you can always contact Mark Dirks or the Marketing Advisory Committee to go over that with you. The next thing I wanted to talk about was we have this tourism master plan. I don't know how many of you participated in the survey, but they did some in-person interviews, some over the phone. Some of them, I think they just had you fill out, you know, input sheets and you sent it in. We had 178 inputs from Curie Beach. And remember, they did this through the whole county. They did Briceville Beach, Carolina Beach, Curie Beach, Wilmington. And our participation rate was actually pretty high. It was about 8% of our town population. It doesn't sound high, but when you look at the town of Wilmington, they get like 1%. So 8% was actually pretty good. So this input's not going to be surprising to anyone, because what you find is what's important to everyone, and it's recreation, events, communication about the events,
And they always say that we need better communication between the visitors, our residents, and the people that are actually involved in running these events. Next slide. This is the stakeholder input that we had. And again, it was kind of similar, but it was also compared us to Carolina Beach, which nobody likes to do. And what they found, which shouldn't surprise us, is that Carolina Beach wants to be able to have tourism throughout the whole year. And so their goal is a little bit different than our goal. When I say our goal, that's from the input we got from the people that participated from Curry Beach. Curry Beach businesses and the citizens, they really want to just prioritize and thrive during the peak summer season and aren't particularly interested in having year-round tourism. And that makes us a little bit different from Carolina Beach. So when we're looking at opportunities, we're not looking at that many opportunities in the shoulder season. Our business is kind of looking to take a rest during that period of time. So that's a little bit different for us. Look at the next slide. This was the sentiment, which shouldn't surprise anyone, that people in Curry Beach don't want any more growth. But then they look at opportunities, they say, well, the Fort Fisher is a historic site, the aquarium. They think another opportunity is if we had more restaurant options, which is kind of difficult for us, but they think that's an opportunity. Back to the bike ped, they want safe biking and pedestrian options. They think that's an opportunity. They still think this is an opportunity to have more events on the island. Next slide. These are, they think, that are barriers to us delivering tourism growth. And they think it's infrastructure, roads, sidewalks, and in big letters, parking, limited land space. And you keep seeing, you know, there'll be a barrier and then it'll say an opportunity, and no more growth just keeps popping up everywhere that they don't want. They also talk about visitor behavior that they look as a barrier, which is kind of interesting. Next slide. So there's where you see about anything about tourism in Curry Beach if not addressed in the survey. I mean, there it comes out. Bad visitor behavior, trash, and dog waste. So people do care about that. That came up. Again, parking. They're concerned about parking. They're concerned about safe biking, limited density, and no more growth. So you keep seeing this theme. No more growth. We want safe biking, pedestrian, need more parking, and they're concerned about visitors. Okay, next slide. And then this was their recommendations, and I won't go into all these. Not surprising, they want a beach access, safety, renourishment, transportation and access, business vitality in the community, and appeal advocacy. And so if you look at these real quick, I won't dwell on them. The next slide is the beach access. And it's really just about having funding to do the renourishment, to make sure that it's always there. And, you know, that it's, we have safety for the people with the walking and for the tourism. And also they did come up with that about that they wanted us to facilitate conversations with MOXA. There seemed to be a consensus feeling that they needed a better understanding of what their role is and what their position is on all these public lands. And a lot of us may know that, but I think a lot of the residents wonder about what that relationship is with MOXU and exactly what their positions are. Next slide. So this is just transportation access. Don't need to dwell on that. Just bike lane, safe pedestrians. Next slide is business vitality. This is just about, you know, making sure that we had standardization. They think that we should have standard hours in Curry Beach in terms of the businesses when they're open, and whether we should have coordinate our messaging with Carolina Beach to promote island advertising between the two. And that's really about it. Let's see if there's anything on the last slide. I don't think so. It's just community appeal. just to leverage the impact of things that we have, like the Port Fisher attractions. So that was basically, for those of you that were participating in that master plan for tourism and gave your input, thank you for your input. And the study is about 40 pages long. If anyone's interested in looking at the study and their results, I'm happy to provide it for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Shoreline access and beach protection?
No, nothing to report.
Okay. And stormwater committee, nothing to report. We're still waiting on communications back from North Carolina DOT. Department heads, administration.
I have no updates.
Development and compliance?
No updates, sir.
Finance department? Harlan?
I'll just give two quick things.
Yes, sir.
It's tomorrow. I'll be attending a meeting at New Hanover County offices, the tax department, for the first pass through of the revaluation data. If I have that, I'll provide counsel with what it looks like at this point, the impact on the Curie Beach will be. And then secondly, we've been working through the process with FEMA for the storm. So today we submitted through the program manager, everything regarding debris removal, that's been manually going to the, they call it their CRC, I think it's Central Review Center. So once that's reviewed, we'll get an idea of any potential questions or concerns they have about those costs. And we're working through all the other sections. The next thing we'll get submitted is the emergency protective measures that were done. So during the storm and immediately after the patrolling and rescues and that type of thing. But we're working through the process, so it's just time consuming.
You have everything you need from the rest of the departments?
Yeah, I think right now we're in good shape with all that data. So.
So tomorrow, can you, when you talk to the county, can you get what the average increase was in the rest of the county versus ours? I assume they'll give that to you, right?
Yeah, and actually all the representatives from all the towns will be there, so it's going to cover everything, the whole county. So yeah,
I'm pretty sure it shifted to the beaches even more, but we'll see. Okay, excellent. Any questions from council?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Fire Department, Chief Kennedy.
I have no updates, but I did want to at least, I know council's been in tune with Matsu, so it does look like they're supposed to be burning soon. We got the email today that they could be burning tomorrow, but I reached out to Kevin. I did not get a response, so I'm still unsure if they're going to start tomorrow, but it seems like any impacts are going to be potential traffic visibility on Dow Road, and of course, you know, fire department, police department getting calls about potentially the woods being on fire.
But if you get that, will you let me know in the morning so we can send a notice?
I will.
Yeah. We said we'd tell people, and
yeah,
I saw the note, yeah.
We did send out that post last month, but I don't have anything else.
Yeah. Well, is it going to be an east wind is the question, right? That's the issue.
It's looking like northeast tomorrow, so. He's sort of abandoned the east wind strategy and he's looking for a northeast. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
you. Are you still planning to close off that section of Dow Road and you'll have to go around?
So according to Kevin, the burn boss, they do not do any of the road closures. So they're simply burning and sort of leaving on the community to, I wouldn't say figure it out, but address it at that time. So I've met with the police chief. I also spoke with the fire chief and police chief of Carolina Beach. So if we have to put some emergency measures in place, then we can't.
Right.
Okay.
So just we'll be standing by. Thank you, Chief. Police Department.
No updates, sir.
No updates. Public Works, Jimmy. So since it came up earlier, at least an update on paving, right? Yeah. Where we're at. There you go.
Update on paving would be appreciated.
Update on paving. Last week, I got in touch with the superintendent of the asphalt company, and I took them around town and showed them everywhere that they worked and showed the displeasure that I had of the paving. And I told them the displeasure of the residents, and I've emailed several residents back about, their displeasure. So the bottom line is there has been no monies paid out to this company. sometimes, you know, you get good contractors, sometimes you do not. You know, I'm not making excuses for anyone, but the bottom line is, we're not going to let the pavement sit like it is right now. He did tell me, now nobody can assure me no more about paving. He did tell me that the areas that I did show him that they could possibly heat up and roll back out and smooth out, but whether that can happen or not, I don't know. It might be a good idea to seek a consultant.
So I think the first thing is get with the attorney and look at the contract we wrote.
Right.
And then we should evaluate within the terms of the contract what alternatives we have at this point. So, Mr. Attorney, I don't know if you've been pulled in yet or not, but that's the first thing is to see where we are.
I'd like to know the contractor's identity if that's not a problem.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's an action item for you guys tomorrow is to look through the contract and where we are. I know that you met with him directly and he's trying to remedy the issue. So part of the contract is you get the opportunity to do that, I'm sure. So that's why we need to know exactly what the contract allows.
Right.
I hate to see that the three people that spoke about it all left right before you came up, which is a little unusual. They stayed through everything else and on the agenda you were coming up. But I appreciate that you're on it.
Same thing that I emailed back.
No, that's good. Okay.
Jimmy, is the contract very specific about, you know, exactly the, you know, how thick the asphalt's supposed to be? Is there specs exactly what this
it does show in the contract that when you're edge milling or something, it'll be like an inch and a half or something like that, you know. I don't feel like that was the issue. And like I said, I'm not an asphalt expert by no means. But I know when you try to do something in cold weather like that and it pulls down, you don't get a great product like that.
Right.
You know, but that was with the company, that was their decision to do the pavement at this time, you know. Like I said, I do feel like they met the specs as far as the depth and everything, the asphalt. It was the resurfacing and just basically the quality of work just wasn't there like some of the other companies that we've had before.
Yeah, I walked it. I'll probably have to recuse myself at some point, but I live in Curry Dunes, and of course I was inundated from all the people here.
You don't have to recuse yourself. I mean, the town deserves a certain product, and Jimmy will work to get that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think for the residents, the issue is that as soon as it was brought to Public Works' attention, Jimmy was out there working on it. The contractor went out and cleaned some of the mess up, but obviously didn't do the job that we would have expected, and we need to still work through that issue. And when you have a contract with someone, you're responsible to, they're responsible to meet the contract, you're responsible to meet your side of the contract, and that's why we have to engage the attorney to make sure what our options are and do them properly so we don't mess up the town's position in a contract.
Correct. I agree.
And so for the citizens that are here and for the citizens that left, I would encourage them to recognize that one of them was an attorney. We're in the middle of a contract and we're working through the process of making sure the town gets what is in the contract. And that's where we are. And so the day after citizens called, the contractor was out there cleaning part of their poor workmanship. And if they haven't met the requirements, then they'll be back.
Exactly.
Or they won't get paid.
They're not finished.
That's right. Or they won't get paid. So that's how the town makes sure we get the product we deserve.
At what point are we going to get the paving debris out of the stormwater drains? Because there is, you can see asphalt like thrown into some of it.
I'll go inspect it tomorrow and that the areas and you know, I mean, it could just be simple as gravel or something like that. We can vacuum out with the back truck and stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't gotten to the point yet in our maintenance to clean storm gutters right now.
I guess until they're done, we probably don't want to go in and suction it out.
Exactly. For one thing, that'll be something else that, you know, I can point out to them that, you know, this needs to be done.
Okay.
There's one more update that I'd like to give council. We spoke about this at the budget retreat, getting some outfalls rehabs. I have gotten a couple quotes, and I discussed it with the attorney this afternoon. I will get him the quotes to him and get a contract drawn up with the company, and hopefully we can start doing the outfalls here pretty soon.
Excellent.
Before
the season. Before exactly the season. Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any questions for Public Works? No. Council?
No. No.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, sir. Yeah. Recreation Department, Nikki?
Good evening, Council. Just one quick update. On February 8th, we hosted the Special Olympics Polar Plunge Run and 5K. I just wanted to let everyone know they raised $126,000 with that event, which will fully fund all the programs and activities this year for more than 700 Special Olympics athletes. And thank the town for always being continuous supporters of that event that went very smoothly on our end. And I also want to give a public shout out to Chief Kennedy for winning the 5K.
So, nice job, Chief. Way to rep.
And that's my only thing.
Excellent. He knew shortcuts, right? No, he would never do that. Okay, so that's the department head updates. Old business we deferred to next month. So new business, approval resolution supporting the beach and inlet management plan for the citizens. This is an update to the 2016 beach and inlet management plan. It requests a resolution from Curie Beach supporting funding for that plan. This is what does beach renourishment, which we call coastal stormwater reduction projects, and managing the inlet just north of Carolina Beach. So questions from council or a motion to approve?
No questions.
I'll make a motion that we approve the request to support this resolution in updating the beach inlet management plan.
Resolution R25-01. Second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Moves on. So the mayor's not here. We'll skip mayor updates. Commissioner items?
I have no updates. Thank you.
None additional.
No updates.
So just for the citizens that are here, we will have hurricane preparation meetings in the April, May time frame. As always, we'll be working on the emergency management plan. For those of you that experience flooding, hopefully you are looking at flood insurance for your homes. I'm one of those people, and so I'm out there looking for flood insurance as well. Obviously, it's something that I never considered, but I probably should have. So you'll see that in the hurricane session. Take a motion to move to closed session. I think it's you.
Yep. Is there anything else? Make motion to move into two closed sessions. One, attorney-client per general statute, North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3. And the second closed session would be per North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A6 for personnel issue.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.